Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. If you look in your bulletins, you will see that my name does not appear there. I am not John Miller. I'm sorry, Charlene, if you're here, that we confuse you so badly. We have not followed the schedule very well. Seems like our schedules get busy and full, and then we cover for each other, and maybe it brings some confusion to you. I don't know. I hope not. I was thinking about our week, this week, and it's been quite a week for many of us here at Sandy Ridge. And a lot of things happening. Holidays are coming up, a lot of plans. And I realize that maybe for some, the plans are perhaps a little bit iffy or on hold. And Brother Roy is probably in surgery, I would imagine, right now. It's a new development. And just a number of things that have been happening in our congregation this week. I think Sister Mary's back home. She's no longer in rehab. So there's just a lot of things in our personal lives that do affect us as a group. And I thought, well, maybe this morning, just for a couple minutes, I would just open it up in the beginning here. If there's anyone that would like to just share, testify about God or anything that's maybe resting on your heart, just a little bit something different this morning. I know we don't normally do this, and I took you by surprise. In spite of, or because of, has God been faithful? And do you continue to trust Him with what's happening? I was in conversation with John and Manson, and their harvesting has not been going well, and all of that. So, anyone, Naomi.
And the thought crossed my mind, I wonder what we're going to use the offering for this year. And then my mind went back to several years ago, and I know I remembered where the offering went then. And I just want to thank all of you for your love and support. And I know you poured lots and lots of money into my life and into paying for day treatment and the hospital bills that were involved there. Mm-hmm. And I feel very humbled, I guess, and just undeserving of the love that I have felt from all of you. And I just want to thank you again.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
I just feel really blessed to be in a church that cares so much. And I have a young lady on my mind this morning. I feel blessed to have my husband for this long. This guy over Mennonite was killed Friday night on his bicycle. They were married 6 months. Mm. And I just can't get that lady out of my mind. So if you think of her, his name is Merle Raymer. I don't know what her name is. But if you think of her, pray for her. I think the funeral's tomorrow.
Okay. I did hear about that. Yes.
I want to thank God for Roy Beachy this morning. Roy has wanted a long time to have his surgery, have his kidney. And he's a good friend with me, and we often talk, and he has sometimes when it's been real low, he's had a hard time thinking he's going to finally get that kidney. You know, God is faithful, and his faith is, and the prayers of others have come together, and it just seems like it's wonderful, the good things that have happened this week and the bad things. We think of the funerals that we went to, or at least one funeral and two visitations, and we think of Paul and his misery. But God is faithful. He's always brought us through. And I think of Mark Zimmerman back when he had backache, and he went and he had something done with his back, and he came back and he was pain-free. You know, someday we will be pain-free in that land that we often wish for, but most of all, we will see Jesus as he really is, and God who really is. And I just want to be a faithful person, as just like Roy. And Roy, right now, is in surgery. And I continue to pray for him, because he's been through dialysis. Just think, three times a week he goes to dialysis. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. He's been doing it over 6 years. That's a long time to wait for something, and there's always been a problem. And, but now he's free, and they finally get down to Indianapolis. He had his suitcase packed. He was ready to go. Are we ready to go in our faith, you know? We struggle in our families, and we have our disunities, but we also have a finishing touch, you know. God has put us together. But I want to just thank the Lord and praise him this morning.
And thank you, John.
I'm praising the Lord this morning for a family here in Elkhart. A number of years ago, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, their father was killed right in front of their farm by a horse. The horse didn't kill him, but he got rear-ended by a vehicle. He was on the horse and cart. I think it was Thursday evening. Children were coming home from school, and they normally come through the woods and across the field from school, and the pony bolted and started getting out of control. All the children jumped off, and I guess the youngest one jumped off just a split second before it crossed the road in front of a vehicle. It was close.
Yeah.
Little bruises. The pony and the cart are not even in. The pony's dead, and the cart is in smithereens. So. I'm just praising the Lord that God had a sparing hand in that moment, and she still has her children.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Dad and everything, I just want to thank everybody for texting and stuff, and it's been kind of rough, but someone asked me recently how it's going, and I feel like when we go to the doctor on Tuesday, I feel peace. And Seth has been reminding me too that that we have to just face everything in one step at a time, and we can't face the whole mountain right away. And I think that's part of just trusting God and knowing that if it is cancerous or chemo or whatever, we'll face that. And I know that we won't face it alone. Thank you.
Thank you, Danae.
It was mentioned already, you know, that this fall has been a bit of a challenge again for us farming and frustrations and all that. But one thing God has been working on me this week is, I think, just perspective. I couldn't help. These things we're experiencing here with Paul, and there's a lot of physical ailments going on here. But I just see them as shared experiences. I remember, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, I was really frustrated with another breakdown we had. And I had to stop at one point. I said, you know, Paul would trade with me right now if he could. Because what I'm facing is nothing in comparison. And I don't understand the seasons of life and why it seems like God brings multiple things to our church at one time. I don't know why he does that, but I'm assured in my own heart that God uses those things for us. And I think it's for our good as a church, even though it's very difficult. I don't think we're ever closer than when we're going through some hard times. So I just want to say, let's take courage. And I want Paul and I want you and your family to know we share this. I can't help daily. You're on my mind. And it does a lot for how I view my own issues in life. And it just gives perspective. So I just want to have the perspective of what really matters and what's important, and not get bogged down with the things that really are trivial, and because God wants to use those as tools in our lives too. So I just want to call all of us to walk together in this, and God will be faithful.
Amen. We get distracted by what we think is important or big things, and they're just inconveniences, sort of, but we make them bigger than what they should be sometimes. We have Mike over here.
It's really good to be here this morning. Not sure how well I'm going to be able to talk, but I missed last Sunday, and I felt like I missed a huge part of us, but I'm just grateful so much this morning again for the church and for the caring spirit that I feel here, that we don't walk alone. Mm-hmm. We're walking together in every situation, and I know not every church experiences that, and I guess I'm just really was reminded to be very grateful for that. With the farming things that we've been talking about this week, finally I just thought, well, God, is this a spiritual oppression of some kind? What in the world is going on? It just seemed like every day there was something, and we just couldn't seem to make headways, and I could feel the frustration, and I was feeling it myself. And finally, I forget which evening it was, early in the week, when John had come home and he said, "What happened?" I started laughing. I thought, well, what is it to, you know, it's just another day, another thing. But it kind of struck me later on, you know what? There's not been any injuries.
Mm.
There's not been loss of life. And I felt like God had to remind
mm-hmm.
me that there's always something to be thankful
yeah.
for. And so I just want to praise him for that. And that he's just been faithful. And I don't know, and we would understand the reason of why it's just been so frustrating mm-hmm. again this year. Well, I mean, we want a reason, you know, it's an old machine, and sometimes you kind of feel like we got a pretty new machine, you know, with all mm-hmm. the repairs. But at the same time, it's our farming business is God's business, and
mm-hmm.
and just trying to see him in the whole
yeah.
picture sometimes is kind of hard. But I know that he wants us to trust, and that's where I'm at this morning. And I'm just
Amen.
So thankful for that he hasn't left us alone, but
mm-hmm.
he's been walking with us through this. And so I just want to praise God for that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Esther.
I guess I'm part of all the ado of this past week, but I'm very thankful to be here. I was fine a week ago today at this moment, but before the day was over, I was not quite so fine. And anybody who's went through this understands what's all about. But I agree with what's been saying. Some of these situations that come along in life's pathway aren't planned for. But I think God wants to make us a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, in his love and his mercy, he allows those things to come in our path that shape us and mold us and test us. It checks us out. Are we still committed Are we still sure that God is in control? I think that God receives glory out of these situations. And I'm so thankful to be here and be a part of you, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Ira. Yes. We had Ira in the hospital, too, this week. Brother David.
Yesterday and today I've been thinking more about Vance's message last Sunday. I think it was last Sunday. Just how God allows different things to come into our life just to test us to see if we trust Him. And what the Apostle Paul had said. And obviously, it sounds like John, they had frustrations in their farming, and yesterday or Friday, I was not impressed at all with the results of my day. And I got kind of angry. I was angry. And I had to, I guess God has been really just asking me or just convicting me that about Vance's message, do you really trust me when I allow things to come into your life that you don't like? Frustrations, things break down, just things that create complications and go beyond our ability to immediately fix the problem and move on. And where it actually creates a discomfort maybe for us. I blew it on Friday. I was really angry. And I just want to confess that to God and just allow Him to give me perspective and to trust Him, even when it feels frustrating. It feels like, you know, what the world are you up to right now?
Amen. Thank you, David. Charlene.
That too, and I love the church. You guys have just been such a blessing to Kim and me, and you have poured into our lives so abundantly. And I just, even with the wedding coming up and stuff, you're still supporting and pouring into our lives. And I just, it's so amazing and such a blessing from God to be here and just to be part of this family that just loves so unconditionally and just is so huge at supporting. I just thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Charlene.
Like I mentioned it before, but Lincoln had a heart murmur or whatever, so Sadie had to go in this past week, and she had to and she went in for another echo, and they did it. And you know, I was like, you know what, God's got this under control, boom, it's going to be healed, everything's going to be taken care of. And then she called me and said he actually had two little pinholes in his heart, and one of them did heal up, but the other one didn't. And the doctor said, you know, I'll come back in another 6 months, but more than likely, it's more likely that he's going to have to go down to Riley and have a small operation. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of hit me, and right at first I was just come on, God, you could have fixed that. We're done going to the doctor and getting his heart checked out and worrying about it. But then I was like, you know what, he did answer my prayer. I asked that it would be healed, and he did heal one.
Mm-hmm.
And so just in the next, I think we have to go back in May and get another echo, and they'll check his heart. And if it's not healed up by then, we're going to have to go down to, Riley for, overnight. It wouldn't be a big operation or anything,
right.
But just, God is in control as much as I might not like it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eric. Amen. Kyle.
That Ira really struck me, just really trusting God and knowing that He's in control even when it really things don't go as planned. And I know, John, how your farming week didn't go very well. I think, I can echo a lot of what you said. It felt like it came off the worst week of work I've ever had. And there are times where you just stop and you laugh at everything that's going wrong because you just literally can't believe it. And then the next moment, you're so frustrated, you're almost in tears because you don't really know what to do. This week was just feeling pressure from knowing there's a lot to get done, knowing it's going to get cold, and Dad's been out with a surgery, and there's been a lot of pressure and a lot of things there, and I haven't taken time to just know that God is God and He's in control. And I was challenged with that this week. I came to the end of the week feeling like I'm at the end of my rope and just about ready to strangle someone. But and then it wasn't out of nowhere. It was God, but just a gentle reminder of look at what I've done for you, of what Jesus has done for you. And no matter how hard it gets, there's never. What is complaining other than me wanting something better for myself, other than me focusing on myself? And I was really challenged and convicted with that. And I feel like in a lot of ways this week was really rough, and I really didn't do well at being still and knowing God. And it feels like a lot of these things always come up, especially around Thanksgiving when you're supposed to be thankful. It feels like there's a lot to really complain about or to ask why God, but just reminded of how faithful God really is in our personal lives and in the church and in all that He's already done for us. And I just wanted to testify of God's faithfulness and of His love and how blessed that I have been just in the reminder of who God is. Amen. And of His love.
Thank you, Kyle. Amen.
I too want to say that I'm thankful for the congregation, for the church. And when we look around us and so on and see all the congregations and the fellowships and so on around us and so on, of the disunity, God is a God of order, and God is a God that wants us to stay together and be together and to be thinking alike and to have peace and love flowing through. Mm. And also, as far as on the last Sunday and so on, when Paul had the prayer for Paul and so on, as far as in his cancer situation, I know what he's going through, because about 15 years ago, I had prostate cancer. And it's such a blow to a person and so on going through something like this, because you don't know if it's going to be terminal or what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go through the treatments and so, and radiation and so on, and come out pretty good. And my PSA count was down for quite a few years. And about a year ago, I went back in, and go in every 6 months and so on for a checkup. And my PSA count was way up again. And they said, Sonia, you've got cancer somewhere in your body, but we don't know where. So I went in for a bone scan. My bone scan was clean and so on. So he said, well, that's a good note. So about 6 months later, I went back in again. And he said, my PSA count's down, so we don't know what, I can't tell you anything more than something has been resolved. And so that's where I'm at today as far as on that. So I know where Paul's at and so on. Yeah, no one is before you.
Yeah.
But yet God is in control.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 1st of September and so on, when I fell, and come out with a dizzy spell as far as, I was so dizzy, so I didn't have to know. I didn't know which way it was going forward. And everything was going in circles on me as far as on that, if I'd move too fast one way or the other or so, whatever. So I went in for radiation and for treatments. And in those treatments and so on, the first treatment went in and so on, and she gave me some exercises to do and sit and talk for about an hour and a half and so on of what I'm going through. And I went home, started doing those treatments. And through 2 days later, we went back in again. My dizziness was completely gone.
Hmm.
And so, God is in control. He knows where we're at. And she said, well, I can't do anything for you because there's nothing here to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that and so on, I always have to think and so on of the comment and so on that Raymond Harnish made and so on years ago. He says, the sovereign creator of the universe arranges circumstances in life, and we enjoy them.
Mm.
Maybe not for the time, but yet. God wants us to look to Him. And He gets our attention through these situations. And that's where we want to give Him the honor for that and so on, because He is in control and He anoints us to stay focused.
Amen. Thank you for that. Why don't we bow our heads for prayer? God, you've heard your people share this morning about life, and you've heard them testify to your goodness in spite of difficulty, in spite of sickness. You've heard them testify about your faithfulness in their lives. God, we trust and we want that to be acceptable to you. We honor you. We praise you for all things. And yet we don't want to diminish the fact that there's a bit of heaviness too with all that's happened this week. And I just pray, God, that you would come here and sit among us as we quickly go through some of the scriptures that you've laid on my heart. And I just pray that the service would minister to our needs, that you would teach us. You've already taught us. You've spoken to us through each other, and it's a blessing. You have granted us peace and love and brotherhood here, and we don't want to take that for granted. We're grateful. We're grateful for each one that's here. Those that can't be here or aren't here, we're grateful for them. So God, would you honor us with your presence? Pray that your Holy Spirit would be faithful in teaching us and ministering to us this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. Thank you for sharing. That was not planned. I just sort of felt like I should, maybe. We'll try not to go over time. I will condense my message, and hopefully it won't distract or take away from what we're feeling this morning. Hopefully it'll encourage us, challenge us to walk more worthy of the vocation with which we've been called. And that vocation is newness of life, a walk with the Lord that is in tune and up to date and ready to give answers when we're asked questions of our faith. And I hope that's my prayer for the message this morning, to give courage and to instruct us in God's ways. All of you local ones here, and there's a few visitors, probably realize by now that I'm going through the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to continue that this morning. And the one we'll be talking about is gentleness. And on the way here, one of my daughters asked what I'm preaching on, and I said, I'm going to preach on gentleness. And she said, how do you preach on gentleness? I said, yes, I know. How do you preach on gentleness? She made some wise remarks about my opening is on gentleness. This is my outline. This is gentleness. And now I'll go home and be gentle. And we're done. I struggled a bit with this. And yet Paul sees fit to bring it into the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness. And in the Greek, it is translated kindness, and in most other translations outside of the King James Version, you will find the word kindness in that, in the place of that. And I think they go together. They're basically the same. I do like the word gentleness. There's something about safety and goodness in a gentle person. And there's also something of safety and goodness in a kind person. So they do they do belong together, and the Greek interprets them pretty much the same. So because of that, I will be using both. I'll probably often be referring to it more as a gentle kindness, because that seems to fit well with what God has laid on my heart this morning. I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning there, I'll make my opening comments a little bit further here. Ephesians chapter 4, and put a little check mark at verse 30. And we'll go down to chapter 5, verse 2, then finish up with verse 2 of chapter 5. But in the 1980s, a man by the name of Robert Ringer, and he's still alive, by the way. He has a website, and he has lots of opinions, political opinions, humanistic opinions. Some of his quotes and some of his things are rather catchy, and they make sense from a human standpoint. I didn't catch anything that I can remember that he mentioned about God. But anyway, back in the 1980s, he wrote a book. The title of the book was Looking Out for Number One. That was the title of his book, Looking Out for Number One. And that's the kind of man he is. The gist of that book, I understand, I did not read it, I just read some reviews, but the gist of that book is simply that he has written it to show us, you and me, if we would read that book, how that we can succeed in life by making sure that we take care of number one. And then 16 months later, he wrote another book, and the title of that book was Winning Through Intimidation. Winning Through Intimidation. Same kind of book. And if you think about those two titles, and I don't know what this man is like. I went on his website, I went on his Facebook page, and he seemed like a really nice looking guy. I mean, he's older now. Doesn't seem very threatening, but he's very opinionated. But as you think about those titles, looking out for number one, and then it was the second one, winning through intimidation. And as we think about the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, it flies in the face of what we are called to be. And remember, brothers and sisters, that the fruit of the Spirit is exactly that. It is a production of what is happening in here. So if the fruit of gentleness or kindness is to be happening in here, is happening in here, it is not because of something that you and I are doing. Okay? It is because the Holy Spirit is in here, and we are allowing that to happen. Now, it is true, and we can argue and wrangle about this thing, but for the sake of time, it is true that there are those gentle souls among us who, even perhaps outside of being born again or having the Holy Spirit, seem to be very docile or gentle and kind by nature. We would maybe call them their personality, or their whatever would be maybe more phlegmatic and gracious. And then you have others like myself that's just not the way it is. And it can be pretty bad sometimes, where gentleness is not a natural thing that happens. And so we live in this world that follows this man's philosophy. But it's not because they followed his philosophy. He simply wrote those books out of the natural instinct of the self-man. That all took place, that all happened, that all went down the drain of spirituality when Adam and Eve sinned. And we all were given or retained that fleshly, manly, sinful way of thinking, where we look out for ourselves. And society, the world we live in, is just that. You and I live in this world. Jesus said, I don't want you to take them out of this world. I want you to keep them here. We're immersed. That means we're rubbing shoulders with this kind of philosophy. And I think it's fair to say that whether you're a phlegmatic and a gentle kind of person or whatever, whatever, or you're a tiger during the day, that we deal with the same thing. We deal with the flesh. But as Christians, as born-again people, we are called to produce or to allow the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit. And the fruit this morning is gentleness. And so this morning, I ask myself, I ask you, are you a gentle person? Am I a gentle person? And is your spirit gentle with other people? Are you kind? And is it safe for others to come to you? Is it safe for your children to come to you? Is it safe for your friends to come to you? Or are people afraid of who I am, of my response, my reaction? And if I am not a gentle person, what effect does that have on your family, on your own life, on your friends? Do you have deep friendships? Do you have good relationships? Or are they surface? And if it is that way, is it because you're not a gentle person? Or that fruit, that part of the fruit of the Spirit, is not being grown very well? And we're going to look at a passage here that shows us perhaps what can hinder the growth of this fruit. So turn with me to Ephesians again here. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm trying to consolidate here real quickly here, so bear with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We'll begin there, I guess. It says this, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And if you have a pencil or a pen or a highlighter, and you don't mind marking up your Bible, by the way, just so you know, Bibles are made to write in. You should mark your Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way we learn. So I would just encourage you to mark your Bible. It says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." There's our connection. There's the connection with what we're going to talk about today. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Paul is admonishing us, and this whole chapter is talking about the way we ought to live. But I find it interesting that the last several verses of this chapter, he talks about specific things that can hinder us. I will call them poisons in our lives. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And then he goes into verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind." Here's the word kind. Remember gentleness and kindness together. "Be ye kind," or gentle, "one to another. Be ye tenderhearted." The word tenderhearted. I want you to underline the word kind and the word tenderhearted. And it says, "Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Verse 1 of chapter 5. "Be therefore followers of God as dear children," or beloved children. And verse 2. "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So the word, the thing we want to focus on out of this passage is, and throughout the week, and I didn't know I was supposed to preach until Friday, but throughout the week I was rolling this whole subject to my mind, and this verse kept popping back into my head. And I thought, okay, Friday when I learned that I'm going to preach, then I went to this passage, and I was struck with what it said. It's a familiar passage, familiar verse. It says in verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another," tenderhearted. That's what was rolling through my mind. throughout the whole week, and be ye kind, and be tenderhearted. And what does that mean? And how can I be kind and be tenderhearted? How do I become kind and tenderhearted? And if this is the fruit of the Spirit and it's being produced in me, how does that work? And what happens when I become kind and tenderhearted? What happens when I become aware that in my life I need to change some things, that maybe there's people that don't feel safe with me? Maybe my wife says, you know, it doesn't feel safe for me to come to you and point some things out to you. It just doesn't feel safe because you go off the deep end. Or maybe it's you catch on that your children don't really feel safe in coming to you. Or your employees don't feel safe in coming to you. Or brothers or sisters or fellow believers. That somehow I'm just not a safe person. But what happens when I am all of a sudden begin to understand that things need to change and I become tenderhearted and kind? What happens? I was reminded of the illustration. Most of you know this illustration. The competition between the north wind and the sun. The north wind boasted and said, I can make that guy take his coat off. I'm saying my version of the story. Remember that? You know what I'm talking about? Nobody remembers? Oh, yeah. If you don't remember, go home and find it in your Childcraft story. It'll be in there. The north wind was boasting, saying, I can make that guy take his coat off. And he blew and he huffed and he puffed and he got cold and windy and he blew and he blew and he blew. And that guy went like this. And he didn't take his coat off. And he walked and he walked and the wind blew. He did not take his coat off. Finally, the north wind said, okay, I give up. The sun smiled gently, came out nice and bright, warm and sunny. And it was a beautiful day. And the guy takes his coat off. You see, that's the way we become when we become kind and tenderhearted. And all of a sudden, it's good to be with you. It's good to be with me. And it's safe to be with me. But what are some things that keep us from being like that? Let's go through this passage. My first outline here is hindrances to gentleness and kindness. In verse 30 is our connection. Here's the Holy Spirit that produces in us this fruit. And in verse 31 it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So I see six things listed here that keep us from being gentle and kind people. Bitter. Are you a bitter person? Is bitterness part of your life? I have talked with a number of people throughout the years. I remember myself coming to the place where I understood that there was a certain amount of bitterness in my life, in my heart, because of one specific happening. And when we become bitter, the scripture refers to it as a root of bitterness. And it goes on to say that many are defiled by that root of bitterness. And so this morning, one of the things that keeps us from being a gentle and kind person is when we're bitter. And bitterness can be spewed out in so many ways. I can have a bitter attitude. I can actually say bitter words. All of that. So this morning, if you find that you're bitter about something, then check yourself. And start asking yourself questions like, do people shy away from me? Do I have any close friends? Things like that. And then it says wrath and anger. Are you wrathful this morning? Wrath. Losing your temper and just blowing it. Throwing the hammer through the wall. Just furious. Wrath. Screaming at the top of your lungs. Or whatever. Wrath. Angry. Vengeful. And I think most of us would say, well, that's not me. I'm not that way. That's not what I do. This is embarrassing. But anger and wrath were a huge part of my life. And in our old house, there was a hole in the wall down in the basement as a reminder of my anger and wrath. And it says clamor. You see, I wasn't a safe man. There's still times when I don't feel like I'm safe. Clamor. Do you feel like you have to always be right? You clamor, you enjoy a good argument. You will argue till it's done. And if you can have more than one person in the corner, that's even better. Clamor. Just wanting to be heard. Rioting. I don't see any of us rioting. What about evil speaking? Evil speaking. Talking nasty about someone. Evil speaking. Backbiting. Gossip. Slander. Talking. And often it comes out in a very gracious, gentle appearance. Well, we're concerned, but we talk and we say and we do. What motivates us to do that? Is it because we want to be accepted? What is our motives behind that? I don't know. There's all of these things that are listed here. These are poisons that keep us from being gentle and kind people. Gentle and kindness. And it says we should put it away with all malice. Malice is ill intent. Is it easy for you to have ill intentions? Do you plan to get revenge, malice? In our hunting woods, we have a problem with neighborhood fellas coming through there with their four-wheelers and thinking that it's free-for-all, and they have a nice little track running through there, and obviously that doesn't feel good to us when we're hunting and we hear the four-wheelers coming, and I have had malice in my heart and I've had to repent. 2x6s with spikes through them would be really nice, but you see what I mean? Malice. We have these vengeful attitudes, and it's our flesh that comes up, and the Holy Spirit lacks the power because we're yielding to those things. And we're called to allow the Holy Spirit to produce in us that fruit. And when we yield to our flesh, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. But when we allow that to happen, when we yield to our flesh, then gentleness and kindness is not part of us. It's not part of us. The Holy Spirit combined with faith produces in us this fruit. In faith. Faith in what? Well, here it says in our passage, it says that Christ gave Himself for us. The Holy Spirit runs in the channels of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, God says. And so faith in the fact that Christ died for me, I trust that He has saved me from my sins. And I live in that faith, I live my life of faith, so that my fleshly desires, my poison that I have, the anger, the wrath, the malice, all of that, I entrust to Him. I confess those. I give those over to Him in faith. And by that, the Holy Spirit says, I will empower you to live in the fruit and produce the fruit of gentleness. You will become a gentle person. Christ died for us. The Spirit works that way. So if you find yourself not being very gentle, then ask yourself, why is the Holy Spirit not able to produce that fruit in me? Is it because I am not living in faith? Am I not continually confessing, repenting, living a life of repentance? I think it was Dave Hostetler that used to say that a godly man has lots and lots of marks of repentance, scars of repentance, something to that effect. What does your life look like? The depth of the Holy Spirit's gentleness and kindness. And here I'd like to bring our attention back to, how deep does this go? How deep does tenderness, gentleness, and kindness go? Well, it goes into the depth of our hearts. You can't produce this, I said earlier, you can't produce this on your own. It has to be a heart-level change. And that only happens when I confess properly and I, in faith, accept that God has forgiven me. And through that, God, through the Holy Spirit, empowers me to live this life of faith. So gentleness and kindness goes as deep as the heart can go. It can't be produced by yourself. So tenderheartedness, that means that you are easily touched. When you are tenderhearted, you are easily touched by tender things, by others' hurts, by others' trials. You are easily touched by their joys. You are concerned about who they are. You don't look at yourself. It becomes a character quality of the Spirit in your life. Is it hard for you to be tender? Is it hard for you to love properly? Are you afraid of love? And maybe it is because the Spirit fruit of gentleness is not being produced. The depth of yours and my gentle kindness is shown by how well I love and how well I forgive others. We have that in our passage. It says, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What does that look like? When we become deeply tender-hearted, we forgive as God forgives. What does that look like? Number one, His forgiveness takes sin seriously. So when you are wronged, you acknowledge that you were wrong. When that person comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you acknowledge that it hurt. But then you look at him or her and you say, I forgive you. And it's gone. And you forget. You forgive and it's gone. You see, that's the way God does. God forgives us. As far as the east is from the west, He doesn't remember it no more. Daily, hourly, it's gone. Confession, He says, I forgive, and it's gone. That's how God forgives. Number two, His forgiveness settles the account. Is it easy for you to settle the account when someone comes to you and you've been wronged? Is it easy for you to mark his chart mentally, emotionally, and spiritually as complete? It's full. There is nothing. See, God restores the account. It is now complete. Number three, God's forgiveness is costly. It cost Him His Son. And your forgiveness cost you the sweet taste of revenge. You see, if you truly forgive, you will not want to have revenge. You won't want to have the pleasure of holding a grudge or the pride of superiority. You see, forgiveness is costly. We have to lay ourselves down. God's forgiveness is real. It's not a sham. It's not something that is not genuine. God's forgiveness is genuine. Is your forgiveness genuine? And when we become deeply tenderhearted, we love as Jesus loves. We take time to hear those who are downhearted. We take time to listen to the ones who are struggling. We take time to put our arms around those who have just had misfortune. We shed tears. When we become deeply tenderhearted and kind, we care in those ways. This is not a pushover. We're not talking about being some kind of pushover. We're talking about a strength that is beyond strong. Tenderheartedness and gentleness and kindness is strong. Jesus Christ is our example. Jesus was tender and kind and gentle to all those he met when he lived here on earth. And Isaiah talked about him. He says he will not bruise the reed and he won't quench the smoking flax. But he will heal. He will touch the lives of people. And it says the Gentiles will believe in him. And so as we think about being gentle, the spirit fruit of gentleness, the portrait of Christ and how he demonstrates all of that, even to us today, when he was here on earth, it was all about, he wasn't a pushover, but he did not assert himself. He brought healing and comfort, and he was kind and gentle. He is still today. And so in closing, I want to read a story. And probably most of you have heard this story, but it just illustrates what it means to be Christ-like and gentle and kind in this spirit fruit of gentleness. A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night dinner. In their rush through the crowded concourse, their boarding passes and briefcases in hand, one of the men inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of apples. Apples flew everywhere, and without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding. All but one. He paused, took a deep breath, got in touch with his feelings, and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apples stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him. He waved goodbye and told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination, explain his taking a later flight. And then he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the terminal floor. And he was glad he did. The 16-year-old girl was totally blind. She was softly crying, and tears were running down her cheeks in frustration. And at the same time, helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the crowd swirled about her. No one stopping and no one to care for her plight. The salesman knelt down on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, and put them back on the table and helped organize her display. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised, and these he set aside in another basket. And when he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this $40 for the damage we did." And then he asked her, "Are you okay?" And she nodded through her tears. And he continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him. She said, "Mister," and he paused and he turned and looked back into those blind eyes. And she continued, she asked, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride and gently went back and said, "No, I'm nothing like Jesus. He is good, he is kind, he is caring, and he's loving. And he would never have bumped into your table and tipped it over." The girl gently nodded. She said, "I only asked because I prayed for Jesus to help me gather the apples, and he sent you to help me. So you are like him."
and only He knows who will do His will. Thank you for hearing His call. And then slowly he made his way to catch the late flight with that question burning in his mind, are you Jesus? So to you this morning, are you Jesus? Are you gentle? Tender-hearted? Do your employees know you as that? Your family? Your church friends? Your friends at school? Your teachers? Do they know that you are gentle? Employees, do your employers know that you are gentle? Easy to be entreated without hypocrisy. Let's kneel for prayer.